Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Oh, wow.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here. Woo!
For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4.
Triple M, rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to be with you on this Saturday afternoon, all heading towards McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights taking on the Warriors. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock, and one of the voices you will hear for that call is with us right now. Peter Sterling. Sterling, good day. Welcome.
Good afternoon, all. Welcome to the new season.
Good.
Lovely to be here.
It's a new season that has with it a few problems, as we know. I want to go back and talk about some footy, obviously, and I'm going to get your thoughts on the coronavirus and where we head. But away from the NRL, I was just looking at that list of things that have been cancelled around the world. You know, the Formula One obviously was gone. Tennis has been postponed. The US Masters has been postponed. The Premier League. Now, Ryan Girdler, you thought that was good news in terms of Liverpool.
Well, I just think that, you know, if you postpone a season, I mean, there's got to be an asterisk next to the title winner at the end of it. It's obviously been Liverpool have been the best side all year, although they've started to fall away in the last couple of weeks. And I just wanted to ask Peter, do you think it's a positive thing for your club, the Liverpool Football Club at the moment, given the fact that they would look a little tired and they're falling away?
Well, the fact that they've fallen away so much to lead by 25 points, it's a real concern because... I don't think there are enough games that we can lose to get beaten. But I take your point. We're knocked out of the Champions League, no longer in the FA Cup. We'll cop an English Premier League title. Mm. And I don't mind that little break now because we were starting to look a little bit leg-weary. But no, it's been a good season thus far. But like all Liverpool supporters, we don't get carried away too early until mathematically things are good.
I noticed, just getting back to rugby league, and we're going to get to the coronavirus with you in just a moment, the next break, but you have replaced Mitchell Moses in that chair, who was sensational for the past 2 hours. I noticed in your column in the Sydney Morning Herald on Thursday, you were talking about the importance of where he took the Parramatta Eels from last year and two, and talking about that jump of many places, more difficult to go that next couple and actually get the premiership, but how key he is to getting that job done.
Well, he's the personality of our football team, you know, and, you know, I think that applies to the majority of number sevens in the competition. And you know, Mitch's game went to the level that it should have been at last year. You know, it was 24. He was played over 100 first grade games. You know, you've got to be getting it right more often than not. And, you know, you've got to be coming up with 8 or 9 out of 10 performances most weeks. If you've got a bad week, it's a 7.
Yep.
And I felt that the problem with Mitch's game is that when he really needed to be seen, he got a bit anonymous, you know, in those crucial times in games. But I thought that was improved last year. Now, I loved what I saw the other night. People say it was a scrappy game and all that. I saw the game that I was expecting because the Bulldogs were going to come out and do that. But what I needed to see to be convinced of the Parramatta Eels this year and with Mitchell Moses leading the way, I can't remember the last time they won a game defensively like that. You know, you go back and have a look at how many games that have been low-scoring affairs that we've prevailed in on the back of our defence. And in the column in the Herald during the week, I made the point that, you know, last year the Roosters won a grand final against a quality side in a low-scoring tight affair against the Canberra Raiders with a player in the sin bin for 10 minutes.
Yep.
We couldn't have done that last year. And that's what you've got to be able to do to be champions. So to go from fifth to first, you know, that's the area we need to improve in. When I say we, I'm talking about Parramatta. That defensive, you know, Melbourne put 96 on us in two games. And, Cronulla put 42 on us and it could have been 60, you know. So, you know, premiers don't sustain those kind of losses during the course of the year. Every now and then there might be a bit of a blowout. But I loved what I saw the other night. You know, the desperation in defence, you know, the last year we won big, but we lost big. That doesn't win you premierships.
Have you been impressed too? I know there's only been one game, but even in that trial against the Panthers, Mitch defensively, because he put on a couple of kilos, and I know had said he was a bit worried about whether he'd lose a bit of speed, but he made in that trial a couple of really good one-on-one tackles right on their line. So we're probably going to see much stronger Mitch Moses defensively this year.
Yeah, well, the thing about Mitch is that he's never been had a problem being in that front line. You know, he puts his body there, but he got bounced off a few times. And when you get bounced off, you hope, you know, you need the blokes either side of you to come in and finish the job. But his contact was so much better down in Bega. And I think you look at all the playmakers there, that they get their defence right, then the rest of the game falls into place. And I guess that's what was disappointing yesterday, watching Ash Taylor, you know, come up with a couple of misses early, because it just, you know, it compounds through the course of the game. I watched George Williams closely. I thought he was excellent. Yeah, yeah. You know, a little bit of Andy Gregory in George Williams.
Yeah. Was as good as Sam Williams, who I mentioned earlier.
That's I saw Sam sitting on the sidelines, actually. So Mitchell, yeah, I thought his contact and intent in going in down in Bega, it just, there was more quality to it. And if he gets that part of his game right, then everything else, it just falls into place, because we know what he can do. With the football, he can be explosive. You know, his confidence is high. We keep talking about Andrew Johns being there as a mentor. You know, that's got to be a good thing. Although Dylan Brown was very good in that department as well the other night. So I thought there's a lot of positives to come out of that Parramatta. Yes, scrappy game and all of those kind of things, but the way they won, I thought was very, very good.
A lot of positives. Some negatives in the competition. How much are we going to see? It's going to go behind closed doors, as we know, from next week. We'll get to that. The Bulldog saga as well. I want to get all your thoughts on the new rules, how so far, what you make of them. All leading, of course, to the Knights taking on the Warriors. It's the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G. It's the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G. Peter Sterling has joined. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Lovely to have your company. Just 50 minutes going before kickoff. The Knights and the Warriors. Before we get there, of course, we do know that there'll be crowds around this weekend. This, just to set the scene again for you, Sterlo, this is what Todd Greenberg had to say yesterday.
And in simple terms, all NRL games in round one will continue to proceed as planned, including stadiums open for all of our fans. In round two, when we get into the second week of our competition, our games will continue to proceed as planned, albeit with our stadiums will be closed to fans.
There it is. So a piece of history, not the history we were looking for in the NRL. And, of course, the code is not alone. It's across the board. It's across the globe. I still find it, and we mentioned it at the top, I find it extraordinary that it's safe to go to a game of footy on Sunday, but Monday is no longer safe.
I wouldn't say I was shocked, but I'm very, very surprised that after the Prime Minister came out, did the press conference, announced that the Cabinet and we'll meet on Sunday, and advised that a non-essential meetings of five. I just figured that straight away that the NRL doesn't go ahead this weekend for the sake of 2 days. Mm-hmm. You know, it could backfire if we, you know, we get people attending and there are positive cases out there. I don't understand how that we're going ahead with it, and I hope that it all works out fine.
Do you? What about the idea
with crowds?
With crowds. That's the idea of playing behind locked doors, which I think is quite sensible. And looking, it looks ordinary. We saw it last night with the cricket, and we've seen it in Italy and I think France, I think, in the football as well. So it's going to happen. It's going to be the new, really. People will see it and they'll understand, and they're watching and they still care and are passionate about their team and they want to see those results. There's no other way really about it. I mean, see Wayne Bennett saying the idea of playing all together, maybe in Townsville or wherever it may be, getting that group and almost isolating the entire competition.
Yeah, I don't know which way we go ahead. I was thinking about it as a player going out. I don't think I'd be fazed by the crowd not being there. I actually, when I played, I forgot they were there, to be honest. You know, if you're just concentrating on focused on the job at hand, you know, obviously the peripheral noise and all of that, and the one thing you would miss out on is hometown calls, maybe, you know, when the referee's just possibly being influenced by what's coming out of the stands. But, obviously a different sensation, but I'm like everybody else, you know, just sitting back and waiting to see which way this goes. You feel as though it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm wondering down the track, you know, where this just becomes a part of our life, where I might say it's like the influenza, but it's in society. We all know people who've got it, and you know, obviously, unfortunately, the vulnerable people seem to be the elderly.
Yep.
But, you know, once the genie's out of the bottle, I know we're trying to slow things down, but I just think eventually it's out there.
No, that's so true. I mean, we're waiting on the, you know, magical vaccine, really, aren't we? It's the down to the medical fraternity, the scientists.
Well, I heard that, you know, even 12 months from now would be quick in getting something to deal with it in that case. So, Yeah, this is it's all new and that now relatively new now, but in 6 months' time, I think it's just going to be a part of our life.
Mm. It is extraordinary. Would the idea of playing in front of an empty stadium worry you?
Oh, like a little like Pete said, you know, you don't really focus that. I guess I've never really thought about it, to be honest. So this is the first time we've been confronted by it. And I think, you know, obviously, you would play because, you know, you play because you love the game. And the crowd and all that is part of the game. But also there was players that came out through the week and said, well, if the fans aren't there, I'm not interested in playing. But then I guess you start talking about wages and getting paid and things like that. And, you know, sanity prevails and everyone needs to get their paycheck and get on with their life. So yeah. The interesting thing is going to be around how do these people that, you know, would usually go and have their memberships, how do they go about watching their favourite side? Because not all games are on free-to-air.
No.
The economy's going to get in, you know, hit with this as well. So people aren't probably willing to spend another $50 a month on, or mightn't be able to spend another $50 a month on pay TV.
Money well worth it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Well, so unfortunately, I think there's going to be fans out there that, you know, won't get to watch their beloved side many times this year. They go to the pub.
They should get Foxtel. There's a great show on a Tuesday night, I think, at 7:30. Yeah, is it on Fox?
Yeah, the back page. But let's not say. You've already had to perform in front of an empty studio.
I did, actually.
I noticed with the professor.
Yes, the professor's show. It was strange, actually. And I know they did it with Matty Johns on Thursday night. Mm. And they crack a lot of jokes there, but they do also talk serious footy at times. So that's a bit different. But it was very difficult in a show, which is a comedy show, and you're relying on the laughs from the audience, and that kind of eggs you on, or to know whether or not that was funny or not. It was very strange having completely empty studio.
At some stage in our careers, Em, I think we can all say that we performed in front of
nobody,
lack of audience, and we didn't have a virus around at the time.
Exactly. It was just when we looked at the ratings figures.
Oh, really?
What happened that night?
That's an opportunity, though, isn't it, for community and for the league clubs and for the like home games, you know, to, you know, open up certain parts of the club and bring all the fans in. And,
well, only 500. You can't have a gathering of more than 500. Or, again, you fall on the same problem.
That's a good
house
point,
parties, so. Host 20 or 30 friends and have a there barbecue, have a few beers.
My daughter's in her third year at Sydney Uni. She keeps asking the question.
Uh-huh. House party.
I don't know about house parties. What's going to happen with our institutions, and, you know, what's going to happen with universities if there's more than 500.
Yeah. Let's just a quick positive from you, Pete. What have you loved about the footy that has been played? We talked about Parramatta before, but the other two games, did anything jump out at you?
Yeah, I thought Brady Croft was excellent for the Brisbane Broncos. Just what they needed. You know, I think it was clear that last year they were putting a lot of faith in a guy like Tom Dearden to come to do the job, but not, you know, I think they bought. He's not Cooper Cronk, and he doesn't play like Cooper Cronk, but there's a little bit of Cooper Cronk in Brody Croft, in his demeanour out there. The way it took to me, he looks like a confident player, and if I'm a teammate, that's what if he knows what he's doing, then okay, well, we must be right because we all know what we're doing, type thing. So I think his influence was profound first up, and I think will continue to be that way. Lord George Williams was excellent. But boy, didn't he get a saloon passage.
Yeah.
Like with Jack White and Josh Hodgson putting together the first 40 minutes, he must have thought, oh, how good is this?
Yep.
The other thing too with the Raiders is I think we've kind of forgotten that they lost Joey Leilua and Jordan Rapana as well. That right-hand side, which was so dangerous, you know, a premiership-winning side, they lose a couple of guys like that and a half. I thought Curtis Scott was tremendous, and it would appear as though Nick Kotrick has moved across to the other side of the field. So they've covered that pretty well. So some astute buying there. But I thought, I thought Brisbane looked really good. And
David Fafita rampaging through.
Well, he'd actually been fairly quiet up until then. But I've just rang on the Sunday footy show for tomorrow. I just rang up to get some footage of the Payne Haas try from last year. He might have only run about 30 metres, but when he stepped through, and put that alongside David Fafita, like, these guys are freakish. I think they made the point in commentary, the last kind of tearaway that could do that was a Gordon Tallis.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think even Gordon had the flexibility and agility and the power as these two footwork, young men. It just remarkable they are. Well, and they're 20?
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
How much is Fafita worth? It seems like he will stay at the Broncos, but is he worth that $1 million-plus tag, do you think?
We've got to see it every weekend, don't you? And you've got to see, you know, the involvement, because I thought he was fairly quiet up until that one, you know, standout moment. But he's just going to get better and better. Mm. Like I say, they're fledgling. So they're only learning what the NRL is all about.
That combination is going to be interesting too, Pete. Like you spoke about how good Croft was, what that allowed Milford to do during that game, and then that combination on the left, once that grows, Milford and I mean, you've got, Fafita there.
I thought Darius was good too.
Darius was good, and then obviously with the fullback, I mean, unfortunately, Bird's not going to get a shot, but Osako just looked pretty sharp on his feet as well. So that whole left side for the Broncos could be super dangerous.
Even when Darius was interviewed afterwards, he seemed the happiest he'd seemed in a while, like a weight was lifted off his shoulders because he'd made that decision that this year was going to be his last year. So but we might see the best of Darius we've seen in a while because mentally he knows that this is it for him.
And they'll get sterner tests than what they had the other night, but I think the signs are good.
Simple position too, like centre, to be honest. Like defensively, you've got to have a really sort of good mindset and make good decisions, but he's been playing a lot of fullback, he's been playing a lot of six, carries a lot of the responsibility at the team in those positions. Out in the centres, you've got to kick, you've got to chase your kicks, you've got to get the ball, you've got to create opportunities, get out of dummy half every now and again. But really, the responsibility of the team falls on other people's shoulders, so that's a weight that he won't carry this year as well.
It was an ugly lead-up for the Bulldogs, Corey Harawira and Naira, Jaden Ockenbar, they stood down from that game for alleged misconduct. The Triple M NRL fan survey has been, should the Bulldogs players involved in that so-called sex scandal be sacked? Should they be sacked? I want to hear from you too. 133353, give us a call right now. This is the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to be with you. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hacker joins us right now. G'day, Tom.
Hi, Tony.
All right, two teams that really struggled a bit last year, didn't they? The Knights and the Warriors this afternoon, that kickoff. What do the punters think so early in the season?
Yeah, punters have lost patience with the Warriors already this season. They've been friendless since then. They're at $2.85.
I love that. They've lost patience before
they win
we
their
start. they've waited a few weeks this season normally for the Warriors, but this season they're right off them. Right to the clear favourite here. They're into $1.45.
Love it.
Latrell Mitchell, we're all very much looking forward to seeing him in his first game for the Bunnies. Lots of pressure on him at fullback, but what price is he in the first try scorer market?
He's always very popular in first try scorer betting. This afternoon's clash, no exception. He's at $10. He's on the third line of betting behind Dane Gagai and Campbell Graham at $8.50.
And the Roosters, of course, their premiership defence. I think Emma's already got them going three in a row, taking on the Panthers. What are the thoughts?
The clear favourites here, the Roosters, they lost 45. They haven't been that popular with punters. They've actually been a bit of support for the Panthers. Their current price is $2.75. They've been one of the best snack outsiders of the weekend.
Tom Hackett, as always, thank you so very much. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly.
Is it the first time that fans have lost patience with a club before round one? Maybe that's an accumulation of 8 years.
It's harsh, isn't it? It's very, very harsh. I think there's some people have lost patience with the Bulldogs, certainly with two players in the Bulldogs. Now, this story, it was just timing. The NRL about to begin its season, and there we were mired in ugly headlines after that visit to Port Macquarie and the allegations of misconduct. Corey Harawira and I, of course, and Jaden Ockenbore. There's been no criminal investigation. The two girls were over the age of consent. There's none of that is in discussion. What is in discussion, I guess, is the visuals of this, of a team visiting a school group, and then for that to happen to have the interaction later. It seems and feels wrong. I mean, not want to be moralistic about it, but that's where it comes to. And also comes to, I guess, down to the club and what they want to be seen as, what their moral fibre is as well. And Canterbury, as you mentioned, Em, they've always touted themselves as the family club. So something had to give.
Absolutely. They're trying to, re-establish their brand, and they had a horror off-season last year with the Mad Monday scandal leading into the Dylan Napa incident. And, they inherited that because obviously it didn't happen when he was at the club. But particularly in the current climate with everything that the NRL is doing around no-fault stand-down, it certainly seems like the Bulldogs are going to come down hard and potentially sack at least Jaden Ockenbore. But regardless whether you think it's right or not morally, it's just so stupid.
Yep.
It is so dumb to, what you do in your own time
Yep.
We're not going to argue about that. But when you're on a, you're essentially representing the Bulldogs going out to a school. So I think that's what most people seem to have the issue with is you are, it's a workplace issue. You're representing your workplace. So that's the difference. It's not in your own time.
Any players who thought that was acceptable, the thinking is just so far wrong. It's crazy. But I guess I pose the question, I'll play devil's advocate. If they're sacked, on what basis are they sacked?
I think there's so much education, Pete, for these guys. And you know, people will probably look at this one-off incident and say, oh, look, you know, the guys, they've done nothing illegal. And it's, you know, it's obviously then it's subjective to, you know, how you morally believe it's, you know, how where it falls. But I think these guys are given so much information and education now around that, that they should, as Em said, they should know from a club perspective, from a games perspective, that what they did was out of line and there needs to be consequences.
That's true. But to go to your question, Peter, I guess the only way they are being sacked is what they're breaking the club rules, which is not to bring people back to the hotel where they're staying. So if that's a black and white rule, then they have obviously gone against that. So they, whether that then is a sackable offence, I guess is up to the club, isn't it?
That's the question. Exactly right. It's a murky one, this one. Because, and especially with one of the young girls, it actually didn't happen at school. You know, it's a terrible look, you know, and it's so much what our game, we don't want to have that kind of baggage involved, but it's when you get into the intricacies of it in regards to the individual players, then it's not that clear cut
totally
from, you know, what how we deal with this.
Good. You mentioned the fact that they've had so many, they get so much education. And I sat in last year on the back of that no-fault stand-down policy, sat in on a couple of sessions that were run. Some, the NRL-run sessions, a lawyer, Adair Donaldson, goes out to clubs and runs sessions with players. I was able to sit in on a couple of those. Lee Hadjipantelis from Brighton's Lawyers also run some on his own. And it's crazy the detail they go to, and the players ask so many different questions. Is that that's more from a legal point of view. So I know this is different. This is, they haven't done anything legally wrong, but they just, the education they get is very, very, very significant. They know what is right and what is wrong when you're representing your club. Yeah,
and they're in the wrong headspace. Yeah. I mean, you're going up there to play, you know, your last trial to get ready for the premiership proper, which starts in a couple of weeks. And even if you're up there for a couple of days, you know, you're on a work trip. And that's how it should be. That's how she'll be treated.
As I said, that was the Triple M NRL fan survey. The question was, should the Bulldogs players involved in the sex scandal be sacked? And the results coming, 78% of the respondents said that both of these players will be sacked. We don't know yet whether both. I see that Paul Kent thinks it will be both, but the prevailing opinion had been that it would be Jaden Ockenbaugh was more likely, and that Corey Harawira-Naira may survive. But we won't know that, and that was all in the hands of the Bulldogs club. Before we get to this game in just half an hour, we'll get a bit more fun stuff. In fact, I want to get to you, Stella, next. The new rules, what have we made of them thus far? This is the Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Stirlo, Emma Gerds, Tony Squires here with you on a Saturday afternoon. All right, so new rules have come into being in the NRL. Not all so far we've seen in the three games that have gone on, but certainly the captain's challenge we saw in the lead-up games and used brilliantly by Clint Gutherson. Absolutely brilliantly. Let's go over there first, Stirlo. What have you made of it? I think Mitch Moses said it slows the game down too much when you're, you know, thinking, how can I make a wrong decision really badly? And it takes so much time.
I'm not a fan.
No.
And the players, they haven't struck a blow yet, have they?
No.
It's, look, I know that you get tough calls during the course of the game, but I've never seen a game won. You know, you've generally got 79 other minutes to win a game, and I don't think it rarely ever comes back to one of those decisions. And I don't know. I just think we're going to get a proliferation of challenges where it will be looked at again, and the decision will stay the same because the referees or the officials
of the
exactly that is applied, and I think they're rarely going to be turned around.
Yep.
Obviously, you can only appeal when the whistle has blown for a restart. So,
which there's a fault, Pete, because if you see something and you're in the side that has something done to you, but you lose possession and they pick up the football and play on, and it's not a stoppage in play, They can't appeal.
Yeah, but if you've got the wrong, you call the captain's challenge and you stop that try.
You can't.
Yeah, exactly, which is why you can't. I mean, it has to be a stoppage. See, it's too hard to be able to just call it in the middle of a play.
Yeah, but then
do we have it at all?
Then why have it at all? If you can't use it in the time where you feel as a captain it's appropriate, you see something blatant, but then all of a sudden it's play on because there's no stoppage because it's not regathered.
I'll use
How
it
can
late.
You use it?
I'll use it late in the game. If my team's in trouble and we're in front and we need a break, I'll find a way to use it with any stoppage. I've had people say to me, "Oh, you know, it'll be good because the grand final last year when the ball hit the trainer." That's a rule.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no challenge against that. Fortunately, with the mutual infringement change, that now does change on the back of that.
Yep.
But I'm not a fan.
I was surprised that the team so far used it quite early on. I would have thought whether you're using it to waste a bit of time or whether it's at the end, it's, you know,
it's like a new
toy. Really close and
you know, you get a new toy. You're not going to put it in your bedroom for a couple of weeks. Yeah, you get
to unwrap it.
I mean, for a kid,
yeah,
you know, like,
absolutely. I just thought,
would you not save it for when, you know, it's 12 all this?
I don't know when you're
70th minute.
You'd save it for obviously for when you think you're going to be correct. I mean, because then you don't lose it.
Yeah.
If you're right, you maintain it. So
yeah, but that's.
The trouble is you can't trust your other players. Remember, you know, Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Well, the Australian cricket team haven't used it particularly well during the course of, have they?
And that's
come back to haunt them.
Nobody will get Tim Payne into the rugby league clubs to talk to them how they should use it, for example.
And does the captain then abuse the... I'll take advantage of the fact he's got the C next to his name, because Michael Morgan last night just decided, oh, no, that was a strip, and he just... No consultation, he just put his hand up and...
You can't talk to yourself.
No, well, you could collaborate with your senior players.
All right, the other one that we have seen a lot of, and it seems, although in the Parramatta game it didn't happen, is the setting of the scrum and deciding where you can do it, whether it be in the centre of the field or, you know, 20 metres or just 10 metres from the sideline. They did a bit of sideline stuff because the expectation was, and it turned out to be the case in the next two games, that you'd go centre field because you're opening up your attacking opportunities.
Right. I'm a traditionalist.
Yep.
I believe that we've had too many real changes in our game. We've had more in the last 10 years than we had the previous 100. Mm-hmm. And the game wasn't that bad for the previous 100. So I defended the scrum for as long as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And my argument was that there are very rare occasions in game where you get 20 metres or 15 metres between your elusive attacking players and you get 12 blokes out of the way.
Yep.
And this is great. Now, I defended that until teams... would put a front rower at 5'8" and pass the ball to him and he would take it in and they get tackled. Yep. Like they obviously didn't see it as the opportunity that I saw it as.
No.
This is the only thing that can save the scrum. That if we actually, and I have...
Scrum.
Well,
I love it.
Otherwise, why have it? Like, honestly, I'm a traditionalist and I came through when John McMartin and guys like that could win the ball from the opposing second row. There was an art in scrummaging,
yep.
You know.
If we don't save the scrum, I tell you what, we've named this program wrongly, as it's called,
yeah.
The Saturday Scrum.
Well,
suddenly out of the reckoning.
There you go. But it's the scrum serves no purpose now apart from getting players out of the way so your attacking players have got room to move. And no one's been taking advantage of it. It's a farce to just get the blokes to lean in against each other, to roll the ball, to get the winger to feed the ball to the hooker who's at lock, who throws it to the second rower who's at 5'8", who takes the tackle.
Yep.
If this can propagate some movement of the ball and have teams actually put together some moves, then yes, I'm all for it. But if we don't, if it just falls back into a scrum, is just the ridiculous situation now of how it is, how it's fed, and you pass the ball, and nothing comes from it. Why don't we? And I hate to say it, that the scrum, so we get rid of it. We just have a restart with a play the ball. And you're not wasting time. We get scrum set now where we've got players looking up at the clock for 10 seconds because they got there early. Like, I'm a traditionalist.
I know.
I love the scrum. Mm-hmm. I used to feed them. I was the only halfback who ever threw it in the middle.
I saw.
But it serves no purpose. This might be, if we get something out of it, it might save it.
All right.
And us. The Saturday scrum.
The Saturday scrum. Otherwise, what do we mean? The Saturday restart. It'll be terrific.
The Saturday play the ball.
Just quickly, what about the other one? I don't think I've seen anything yet. The idea of not being, you know, tackling in the air, and it's happened with the defensive players before, but now it's turning that an attacking player can't be tackled in the air. So gives them a fair opportunity if they're going for, you know, in goal to score the try, that you can't grab them while they're up there.
It's going to make it difficult for the defending team, isn't it? We haven't seen any instances so far over this weekend, but there was a couple of bumps yesterday. I think it was Nicol Klokstad went up for one and came down, and someone slapped his thigh on the way through. So, you know, there's going to be we're going to have to wait and see how this one pans out.
Apparently, Daniel Tupou loves the new rule.
I bet he does. Absolutely.
I see some kicks going his way.
I think so. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a look at this afternoon's games and this evening right here on the Saturday to be named. Saturday scrum counting down. Knights taking on the Warriors. Emma Lawrence, any changes in what's going on this evening, this afternoon?
So for the first game, Newcastle and Warriors, the Knights are 1-17, but a late change for the Warriors. Carl Lawton is out and King Vunayayawa will make his NRL debut, which means if he has officially played one game of NRL, he will be eligible for who does he play for in the coming weeks.
Excellent.
Gerds, take note of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also tonight for the Roosters, Angus Crichton has been ruled out. Did get tested for coronavirus, negative, but he's still not playing because he does have flu and pneumonia-like symptoms. So he'll be out. So, I mean, potentially they've got Matty Cavallo. You could put Mitch Orbison potentially to the centres, move one of the forwards then into the starting lineup. Or I think Matty Cavallo was their 18th man, so he could go somewhere in that back line.
They'll sneak Josh Morris in.
Wouldn't that be good?
Imagine that.
I'd like to see Josh Morris plays first half for a Cronulla and the second half for the Roosters. the Knights, new year, new coach. Important for them to start well.
Yeah, I was amazed last year, Tony. I thought that they were, you know, moving along nicely halfway through the season. They were in the top eight, and you just thought that, okay, every now and then there was a little step backwards. But the way that things blew up there in regards to Nathan Brown leaving and the capitulation to miss out on the playoffs, I didn't see that coming. You know, I thought that from where they'd come to where they were going, the journey was traveling quite well. And especially the ability to, the success in signing Origin players, to have Mitchell go there and have Tim Glasby sign up and David Clemmer type things. You just thought, so Adam O'Brien comes in, they've got a number of changes there, and, you know, I think they'll have a really good season, Newcastle. I think they will build on what we saw in the first half of last year. Quite, it's coincidental, isn't it, that Nathan Brown comes back as an advisor. As a Warriors advisor. I wonder how his patience is going. Yes. But, you know, two sides who were gross underachievers last year, ultimately finishing 11th and 13th. They come in with high hopes, but, you know, I don't know what to expect from the Warriors once again. You know, the template for the Warriors is that
your patience run out, Pete?
Well, the first eight games they'll win. They win two, then they make a mini recovery during Origin period when they won three and had a draw last year, and then their last eight games are poor. That's been the template, except for 2018, where I thought things had turned around. The breathing had all sort of seemed to be going. They showed resilience in defence, but then they were back to their bad old ways.
A lot of the times when you look at the rosters, the Warriors roster, you have to kind of convince yourself of why they're not going to be in the eight. This year I look at the roster and I convince myself why would they make the eight. And I think that's the biggest difference for me. Obviously, made some changes around, you know, Nikorima going back to the bench and Harris Tavita will step up and play in that six. I think that's Nikorima's best role there. It comes on at probably 1, 6, 7 or 9, which is pretty handy. But, hard to see them winning at Newcastle.
All right, that is a game in front of you this afternoon. The Knights taking on the Warriors, and it is the Rabbitohs and the Sharks, followed by the Panthers and Roosters. Thanks so much to King G. Thank you, Sterlo. Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Ryan Girdler. Most importantly, thank you. We'll catch up next week.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.